Hi, this is Eric Greb, Senior Associate Editor of Neurology Reviews. With me now is Dr. Anthony Reeder, Professor of Neurology at the University of Chicago. Dr. Reeder and his colleagues identified and followed up with 366 of the 372 patients enrolled in the 1988 clinical trial of interferon beta 1b. Among other outcomes, he found that interferon beta 1b decreased patients' risk of death by approximately 47%. We're going to talk about his findings now. Dr. Reeder, based on your data, what benefits does interferon beta 1b have besides reducing the hazard rate of dying?
Well, in a complex disease with a complex therapy, there's a lot of things going on. And, you know, we can go back to the original approval of interferons, and the FDA based that on a reduction in relapse rate. And so patients had fewer relapses, and when they did have them, they were milder. And the other factor involved in that initial approval was fewer MRI lesions were developing in the treated patients. Many fewer gadolinium-enhancing lesions and a reduction in new lesions and black holes that came out later on in our investigations of interferon therapy in MS. The other benefits, which have been accumulating over the past 20 years, which were actually not part of the original trial, because, you know, what's happened since then is pretty interesting. We found that there are improvements, or at least stabilization of cognitive function on a number of different measures in people who are on therapy. And the other part of our recent follow-up is that there were fewer people that died who had been in the treatment group compared to the people who were in the placebo group for this 5-year period of the study.
Now, we know what treatments patients were taking for the 5 years of the original study, but do you know what the patients took for the subsequent 16 years?
Yes. We actually, at the 16-year point, we went back and asked these people, what have you been on since the study ended? Because, you know, in the original trial, everyone is nearly perfectly randomized into three groups of placebo, low-dose interferon, or the high-dose approved interferon. So for 5 years, they're stuck in these groups. And then after the trial ended, beta interferon was approved, and the vast majority of people in the study from all three groups started taking interferon. Okay, and then as time went on, some of them switched therapies, went to other interferons or glutaramer acetate or various other therapies. But on the whole, if people were on therapy, 90% of the time they were on interferon beta. Okay, and any drug use that was different between patients was very evenly spread in that other 10%, and it was all for a short period of time. So essentially, you have a 5-year randomized trial, and then people go on interferon. A few people didn't start any therapy or stop taking it, but most people are on interferon. And then there's a little bit of extra MS therapy, as you might expect, with some exacerbations or people getting tired of giving themselves shots. But the groups remain pretty evenly balanced throughout the years after the trial ended. And so in most trials, we have this randomized phase, and even if somebody drops out of a big drug trial, we try to keep them in the study, and we consider them as part of the original group, and that's called intent to treat analysis. And we analyze them all together at the end of the trial, even people who've dropped out and stopped taking drug, or who have dropped out and taken another drug. They're tried to be entered into the final data. And so what we've done here is extended a very long 5-year study to 16 years and maintain the original distribution of patients, and have looked at almost everybody in the original trial and measured cognition and mortality rates. And so, and there were actually two phases. You know, the first time we looked was at the 16-year point, and the survival and cause of death data comes at the 21-year point. And, you know, everything I said about the randomization and maintaining therapy is true for both 16 years and 21.
Does this study reinforce the importance of early treatment for MS?
It may. This is something that this trial really wasn't designed for, because if you look at what was going on in 1988, there were no MS therapies at all, you know, except for steroids for attacks. And nothing had been FDA approved at that point. And so in that trial, patients had had an attack on the average 8 years before. And so these people were starting very late compared to what we're doing now. And the other part of the picture was that these were pretty sick patients. We selected the people from our clinics who were having really the most attacks and who seemed to have the most active MS, and who were interested in going on a potential therapy for multiple sclerosis. And that was one of the requirements at the time, that the people needed two attacks in the past 2 years. They couldn't be stable. And back then, since there were no therapies, there were a lot of people with highly active multiple sclerosis. And so two things don't match what we're doing now. One was that they'd had symptoms for 8 years. And another was that we were mainly treating very active patients. And so that's a little different. And so we didn't have a group with early and late starts or anything like that. And just putting this trial into context with current practice and other trials that have come since then with early first attack MS, the clinically isolated syndromes, in the pivotal interferon trial, which was 8 years after the first symptoms, we had a 33% reduction in MS attacks. And if you look at early treatment, which you just mentioned, the same drug given to people with their very first attack of MS cuts down the relapse rate by 54%. And so the point is that the real number, if we'd started early, would have been 54%. But at the time, after 8 years of symptoms, it was still 33%. And you could argue that if we'd studied these people with their first attack in a group that we knew would have really active MS, it would have been even more effective than the original trial. So we can't break it down from this study, but we have to put it into the ecological context of every trial that's been done since then.
So what advantages can neurologists gain from this kind of long-term follow-up of patients with MS?
It's sort of a change in mindset, because up until this work, we didn't really think about the drugs we give as preventing death in MS. We've always been conscious of side effects of the drugs that might cause an adverse event and sometimes even possibly death in a trial. But this is really the first time that we've looked at a drug affecting MS to prevent death. Now, it's very common in cancer, but in neurology and in MS research specifically, this is a whole change in mindset, in looking at how a drug works. And so that gives us a lot of insight into the natural history of MS, where people seem to die about 8 to 10 years earlier than expected. And if you look at the numbers from this study, it looks like the number of years that people survive has been pushed back by at least 6 years. So what this does, and remember, we're starting late in the course of MS here in this trial, that interferon seems to correct this excess mortality and push it back to a normal lifespan. And that's even starting 8 years after the first symptom. So I think this is a really interesting biological phenomenon. Why are these people dying from pneumonia? Maybe it's because we're delaying the progression of their MS, and even theoretically it could be affecting other factors involved in aging or infection in these patients. And, you know, the one thing we did find was that there weren't any excess cancers or deaths from any other cause in this relatively small group of patients. And so it looks like it was MS progression and pneumonia that seemed to be the main excess cause of death in this picture.
Thank you for your time, Dr. Reeder. This is Eric Greb, Senior Associate Editor of Neurology Reviews. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.